To 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Book of 2 Timothy. And chapter number 1. I'd like to read here actually a couple of portions. I'm going to look at verse number 5. And then we're going to go to chapter 13. Notice verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Go to chapter 3 with me, please, and notice verse 14. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let us pray this morning. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these tremendous verses that teach us the importance of motherhood. Lord, that teach us the importance of passing on to our children the concepts of the Word of God. We pray that You might work in our hearts today. I pray that You would speak to us. Lord Jesus, we pray that anyone in this room that's not saved be a day of salvation. For anyone in this room today that is not walking with Christ, that it might indeed be a time that they turn their hearts and their walk toward You. We ask today You would get honor. Spirit of God, move in our midst. Oh God, do that which You only can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. The true effect of the gospel is when it can be delivered by a vessel that has been thoroughly affected by its message. Book of Romans chapter 1, verse 15 says, Paul is writing to the Romans and he says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now I want you to notice the next verse and listen carefully. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." We find that the Word of God teaches us that as it is delivered, it has a greater power when it's delivered by folks who have been affected by it. From faith to faith. Paul says, "I understand the power of the Word of God." You can pick up a tract, you can take up the Bible yourself, you can read it, and God can save your soul. But there's something about when somebody who is living it, who it's a part of their life, gives you the reason of their life. And it has that tremendous impact because of their testimony. We find here, I believe, the reason given for Timothy's faith is because it dwelt first of all in his grandmother and then in his mother. I want you to notice something about that faith, because in verse number 5, it describes his faith which dwelt, it says, where first in thy grandmother and then in thy mother. And that is, it was an unfeigned faith. To feign means to invent, to imagine. To feign something means to pretend. It means to present something in a false manner or to conceal it. So when he uses the word unfeigned, it's just the opposite of that. And so when he talks about an unfeigned faith, it is real. It is not hypocritical. It is not something that just comes into the mind, is not lived out through the soul of the individual. And so he's talking about this young man, Timothy, and he's saying he has something that is very, very real. And one of the reasons that he can point back to is because he saw it demonstrated by his grandmother and by his mother. Now we know something about what indwells us as individuals. We know that sin indwells us. We know that sin is transferred by the blood. We know that our children, we do not have to train them to do wrong. They have inherited that nature. But we also know something else, and that is that a person who is changed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that change can also transfer to another individual. In other words, if God has changed you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He died upon the cross and you receive that as your own, and that change has taken place inside of you, then that kind can be what? Given to others. It becomes our testimony. It is lived out day after day. Many a preacher has had his influence for God generated by his mother. Just as Timothy did, I find that mothers wield a tremendous influence, especially in the lives of their sons. I was so disappointed. The first birth in our family was a little girl. And as Andrea was born, I got the news. And that was in the days that fathers waited in a waiting room, paced back and forth, or read magazines that were in the waiting room for 3 years maybe. And, you didn't know what was taking place. And you waited and you waited and you waited. And after 3 long hours, I thought something surely terrible has happened. I didn't even know this thing could go on for days sometimes. And finally the doctor came out and said, "Did you have a nice little baby girl?" "Oh, we didn't have ultrasound. We didn't know what it was going to be in those days." By the way, that's where the world worked for most of the time since creation. And so here I was expecting, because every family in my family had boys first and I had a girl. I was so disappointed. I was really quite upset. And so when they took me in to see this little girl, I didn't really want to see her that bad. But I later learned that a father's heart is really drawn to their little girls. I didn't know that. Some of you guys have figured that out. See? Todd back there, God had to show him. We all remember, well, it's going to be a boy. I know it's going to be a boy. And all the women said, "Well, what if it isn't?" He said, "Don't worry about it. It's going to be a boy." He got showed once, twice, three times. And I don't even know if they got a boy dog at your house. Brother Wells had a tremendous influence in your life. But mothers and their sons, there's just something there. And I can remember that same thing with my own mother. There was a closeness there that I had in those early years. Dad was working. Dad was busy. And so all those needs were taken care of by her. And I find something in the Word of God. This is interesting to me. 1 Corinthians 7:14. And you might not catch the application immediately, but listen to this. It says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy." There is something about this woman who is of God, who has a tremendous effect on the child, even if the husband is not. And that was the case, by the way, with Timothy. We find from Scripture that his father was a Greek. Far as we know, he was not even saved. And yet, because the influence of his mother and his grandmother, we find that God worked wondrously. Listen to this Scripture found in the book of Proverbs 1:8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." First of all, young people, you are to listen to your father. And by the way, dads, we best be instructing our children and not abdicating the position to others. We be very careful of those who are, having any instruction in the lives of our children. Best be instructing them, not giving that to somebody else. And by the way, dads, we need to know what it is we're going to teach. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the principles of living a life according to God's Word. But the Bible says here, forsake not the law of thy mother. We listen to our fathers, but we observe the mother. There are laws in her life that generate her actions. Let me give you this thought. Her responses to what takes place will become the responses of the child. A rebellious wife will produce a rebellious child. A husband who is ordering his family properly and the wife who will not follow that leadership will produce the wrong kind of children. And so they observe that law of their mother. Through Timothy's early years, I believe that they were not marked with that which was godly instruction from his father, but certainly he had a duet of godliness in his mother and grandmother that overcame all adversity. I want you to notice a couple of things concerning Timothy. First of all, his life commenced with early instruction. Early instruction. We dealt with it a little bit in Sunday school class, and what is early? I don't believe it's late. I believe it's very early. Somebody said, well, when do you start disciplining a child? You can start early. Early. You catch my drift? Early. You say, well, listen, they do such cute things. Cute, wrong things are still wrong. See? Smile about them later in your bedroom with your husband, but not in front of the child. The Bible says, withhold not correction from the child. Oh, I don't know if I should read this. I'll be reported to the authorities. For if thou beatest him with a rod, I say it real fast, he shall not die. How many of you in this room are living proof? Stand up, Q. He's there like this. You are living proof of that very statement. And we need to understand that when we withhold, we're withholding that which is good. It needs to start out with early instruction. God selected His instructors. And the instructors of a child need to bear the right kind of influence in their life. By the way, parents, you need to be very careful who's teaching your children. And many times we cart them off to public school with an ungodly teacher and we wonder why they become ungodly. Or we let them have an ungodly coach and we wonder why they become ungodly. We wonder these things sometimes when it ought to be very obvious to us. The selection of instructors is very important, and God chose you to do a job that is very, very, very difficult. There is a subject that we ought to be instructing with. And I believe, first of all, that needs to be the Word of God. The Bible needs to be taught to our children as the authority for their life. They need to understand, hey, this is what we live by. This is what we go by. It is this Bible. It is what it says. And that's why we're going to do what we do. Because God has given us instructions for life. How many believe God invented life? If God invented life and God brought life into being, would it not be God who could give us the best instruction book? Would it not be God who could give us the manual on living? If you get a new appliance, something you've got to put together, normally you've got an instruction booklet. I put a lot of things together through the years and I often think, well, I know how to do this, and so I leave the instruction book and I always have to open it up because I put part B into part A and it should have been part C into part D. You know what I'm saying? And I did something really goofy. And you got to do things in right sequence. And God gives us His instruction manual. And so it needs to be taught as the authority. This is why we do what we do. And then we can teach it its truth. Most families in America have no idea who their authority is. Most have a Burger King philosophy. Do whatever feels good. when really we need to understand, here is the book, this is what we need to teach. The significance of its instruction is very, very important. It came from people who were changed by its truth. It came from people that God made into holy men, and it was transferred down to you and to me. And when you and I live that godly life and can transfer it on to somebody else, it becomes a tremendous demonstration to a young heart. There were people as I was growing up that I knew was very real. I knew that whatever was making them tick, that's what I saw. They were not phonies. On the other hand, there were others. Oh, they would go to church. Oh, they would do certain things. But you knew that God was not really the author of their life, in the sense that they were following His book. You knew that they did what they wanted to do. And how we need to have instruction from those who are godly people. I believe not only did it commence with the early instruction, but we find that he was convinced because, and let me use this word, their yearning instruction. He saw it, as we've said over and over again, he saw it at work in their lives. Sarah, do you read books? I know you read books. Me? Do you read any books? Do you read books? Do you read books? Do you read books? Do you like reading? I saw her. Okay. So, you read? Do you read books? You notice I'm asking girls. Do you read books? It's hopeless. You read books? How many read books? You read books. I'm going to guarantee you something here. Some of you did not raise your hand. And I want you to know something. You are reading books. You may think, no, I never pick up a book. I never read its pages. But you are reading books. Do you ever pick up a book and read its pages? Just for fun? Just in school. Honest guy. But he is reading outside of school. Not assignments. You're reading books otherwise. Did you know that? No, most all the time. Did you know that? Get your brother back here. He's smirking, thinking he's on his own. Are you like your brother? Do you like your brother? You read books? I mean the words on pages, you know. Do you? Do you like it? Don't be honest with me. You don't like reading? When I was your age, I must be honest, I did not like reading books. Before I was in high school, I remember reading one book. I read Robinson Crusoe. If I read something, it was because I had to in class. Oops, I think I had to read that from class. I didn't like reading books. I even got in college and I took a course in short stories. It wasn't going to catch me in any long stories. Didn't like it. By the way, now I enjoy reading. That might change. Steve, you like to read? No? Honest guy. When was the last book you probably read? Couldn't tell me. I'm going to look right behind you, Steve, because there's Lance, and he comes in and borrows a book from me once in a while. And he always looks for the skinniest book he can find. You haven't got one bigger than a comic book yet, Lance. Matter of fact, he's in the other day, he says, where's the thin ones? giving you a hard time. Dom, do you like to read? Yes. Do you? Boy, I'm learning something here. Do you read very much? He works for the paper, so do you read the paper? My favorite part of the paper is not the sports section. I rarely read it. I think the best part of the paper is the funny page. Christopher, you read books?
Not recently.
You used to like to read a lot. Read a lot, okay? Catherine reads all the time. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? My Bible says this. Ye are epistles known and read of all men. Moms, what books are your children reading? Serious. What books are your children reading? I'm not talking about these things that have covers and pages and words. I'm talking about what are they reading in you? What are they seeing? What are they reading? Ye are epistles known and read of all men. Here's a man that God says that he had unfeigned faith. It was real. Why does he say that? Because it first, remember the word, dwelt. Think about that. Dwelt. It was a part of their life. There was one person in our family. I'm talking about between my aunts and my uncles and all of the Springer side of the family. Never knew my mother's side except for her sister and her mother. Never met any others. But on one occasion was clear out in eastern Iowa. But of all of those, there was one person that I barely knew. But she had a tremendous impact in my life. We all knew her as Aunt Annie. You've heard me speak of her. My Aunt Annie died when she was 97 years of age. She'd been a school teacher. She graduated from the 8th grade, and the following year they made her the teacher. Not an uncommon practice in those days. My aunt was a very godly woman. Annie Reiki never got married, but was like a mother to many. She was in many regards like the Gertrude so many of us knew. She loved God. Whenever the family got together, my uncles drank. But when my aunt was there, they better make sure she didn't see it. She'd climb their clock. And they made sure she didn't. My uncle told me, she lived with him for a number of years, her latter years. He walked by her bedroom door on several occasions. And here's a lady in her 90s. She's on her knees. Her arms folded and her hands on the bed, and she's praying. And he says, I heard her pray one morning. Why am I still here? I just want to go home and be in your presence. I grew up hearing these stories. All I can say is, though we very seldom ever talked, she had an influence in my life. I read a book that was very real. I remember one occasion. For some reason, we'd all went to a church. It wasn't the church we had normally went to. But the whole family was together. Aunts and uncles, my grandmother, my aunt. And they served the Lord's table. And after the Lord's table at this church, their custom was to take another offering. That money would be used then for folks who were in need. That was the way they did that. This would have been when I was a teenager. This would have been in the either late 50s or early 60s. All she had in her billfold was a $20 bill. Do you know how much $20 was worth then? It'd be at least a $100 bill today. At least. All she had was a little widow's pension. It's all she had, and she put it in. My uncles had a fit after church. They immediately ran to the pastor and said, that was all she had, and you ought to give her some change. And when the pastor came with the change, my aunt was incensed. She said, I gave it. Those things spoke to my heart. People are reading this. Moms, your children read you. You have the greatest influence in their life. Great influence. What are they reading? See, Paul said that our faith transfers from faith to faith. What are they catching? What's really coming to their heart? We can say things, but it's not always the reality. Are you real? Faith to faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the godly influences that we have had. Lord, as I look around this room, I see so many women who have that kind of influence. Lord, I know that there can be improvements in every life. No doubt, as I've preached this morning, there have been things that have entered their hearts that could be improved. And Spirit of God, You did that for a reason. So, God, I pray that through that You would bring about those changes to make them into a more godly woman. Lord, we fear in our society that there are very few that are like that. It's getting to be rare. Lord, some of the kids who come to our Sunday school, some of the kids who live in this city of ours, do not have that kind of influence. Lord, I pray that You would change that for them. Lord, I pray for in this room today that You have spoken to their heart. Dear God, that You might work and bless. I want to finish praying in just a moment. Please keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. Moms, dads, children, this does not matter, your position in life. If you're going to be a godly influence, you first of all have to have Him in your life. I mean, first of all, you've got to recognize that you are a sinner headed to hell and you need Jesus Christ. You need to accept Him into your life. And then you need to allow Him that place in your life where it becomes your reality. Becomes you. I wonder this morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Does everyone here say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved. I don't know. I don't know if I die to go to heaven. I'm concerned about my soul." Just slip your hand up. I might see it. Nobody else is looking between you and me and God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise that. Just slip your hand up. I might pray for you. You're today and you say, "Preacher, if people read me today, some of the chapters in the book need to be erased and redone." By the way, that can take place. God can do that, and God wants to. Say, "Preacher, I need that in my life. Would you pray for me? I'm saved, I know it, but the story of my life is not what it ought to be. I'm concerned about what people are reading." Father, today, only You know hearts. Dear God, that You might work in these lives. May You receive glory and honor. Lord, that we might allow You that living reality in our hearts and our lives. Oh God, it's the need of our hour. So often we turn on the buttons to go to church and we turn them off and we go out. It's not that which propels us moment after moment. Oh God, work in our hearts in these matters. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.